Well, I believe that's the only way we can stand, is how the Lord stood long ago. I would like to say we truly appreciate the privilege that we have to be here at Monarch. I look out when we got here, and each service, I'm not much of one to visit a lot, just my personality. But I love to sit and look at the saints. And I watch, and I'm going to tell you, dear ones, these are scenes that when you get home and you get in battles, and you look out, and in your mind you say, oh, I remember brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so and this testimony and that testimony and what the Lord does. I'm going to tell you, that's powerful. And I thoroughly enjoy being in, I'd rather be sitting right back there, but I thoroughly enjoy being here. And I have appreciated so much the meeting. I want you to know, and I'll say this for the young people, because I know sometimes you face battles. But I want you to know the devil fights preachers just as hard as he does you. And some of you know the devil has fought us in trying to be here for this meeting. And I'll tell you a little bit about it. My wife has, with her sickness, we didn't know for a while if we were even going to get to come. But the Lord began to work, and He began to help her, and we began to have hopes of being able to be at Monarch. And then last week, she had a couple of days that it looked like it was going backwards, and we didn't know what was going to happen. And I asked her, I said, well, should we just give up our plans to go? And she said, no. If I feel like it at all, I want to go. And so we made plans to do that. Well, I came home Friday night, and we were planning to come Saturday. And I came home Friday night, and I began to load things up. And usually when I come to Monarch, I bring a lot of tools because I never know what's going to happen. And so I was out in the shop, and I was picking up different tools, and I put them in the toolbox and was putting them in the truck. And she said, do you think you need all those tools? Well, I hope not, but we might need them. So I put them in there. And as I was loading stuff up, I was walking through the shop, and I looked up on the pegboard, and there was this big 50-amp lifeline for the trailer. And I thought, or the thought came to me, you might ought to take that. And my next thought was, I don't need that. Where I'm parking, I won't need that. But then the thought came to me again, you might ought to take that. And so I thought, well, I'll take it. Maybe somebody else needs it. Yeah. And so I walked over and I got it. And as I was carrying this heavy cord to the door, well, you'd have to see my shop to understand it. But there were some things right there at the door. I had a cord that I had run out that I was plugging something in. And as I was carrying that out the door, my feet got tangled in that, and I went head first out the door and landed on some metal and some other things that were out there. And my wife had been standing out there, and she was talking to the neighbor. And, of course, my first thought was, oh, my. I was thankful the trailer was between me and them. But the next thought that I had was, I was laying there in my wrist. I'd landed on my wrist and my right knee, and I thought it was hurting so much. And the thought came to me, did I break one of them? And then the devil said, well, I guess you're not going to go to Monarch. And I rolled over because I wasn't able to get up yet. And I began to move my wrist. And I thought, well, thank the Lord, that's not broke. My wife came over about that time, and she helped me to get up. And I began to move my knee. And she was like, are you okay? And I began to realize it wasn't broken. So, yeah, after the pain goes, I'll be okay. And so I went ahead and loaded everything in the truck. And I backed the truck up. And I hooked up the trailer, and it was dark by this time, and I backed it up. Those of you who have fifth wheels know, and I backed it up, done it many times, and I got it in there, and I pushed the lever in and locked it in and looked at it, and all, everything looked good. And so she was standing on the opposite side of the truck, and I said, well, I'm going to pull the trailer out of the shed here so we can get the slide outs out and load the rest of it up. And so I started pulling out, and when I did, I heard this terrible crash about the time that it just felt like a ton had dropped on the truck. And I looked back, and I still don't know, unless I just didn't get it in with the dark, but that fifth wheel pulled out of that hitch. And that 15,000-pound trailer just came crashing down on the truck. Well, the first thing I did was check to see if she was okay. She was all right. And I got out, and I looked at that. The devil's like, well, you're not taking that tomorrow, Art. And I'm really honest with you, I didn't think it was. I looked at that. That trailer was crushed down onto that truck. I just knew it was crushed. And I could see the truck. The fender was bent. And so I started raising the jacks and got it up off the truck where I could pull it out. And I examined it. And, you know, I looked. And all I found was two little cracks about like this underneath. And Karen said, well, is it going to be okay to take it? Is it safe to drive it or to pull it up there? And I said, I think it will be. And so I backed the truck up again and I hooked it up. And this time I got a flashlight and I looked to make sure that it was plugged in. And it was. And so I pulled the trailer out and I said, well, looks like it's okay. I guess we'll take it after all. Well, we loaded everything up, and the next morning, we weren't planning to leave. Mornings are not the best for with this condition. And so I'd gotten up early, and as I was sitting there and I was looking to the Lord began to bring this message to my mind. I didn't have it before. The Lord just began to bring it. And as I was sitting there, and I thought, well, Lord, maybe you wanted us to go after all. So we loaded everything up, and we headed this way. And as we were driving along, we were talking about how the Lord had protected us. And I was telling her, I said, you know, I was so thankful because, you know, sometimes when you pull up a vehicle and somebody's out there, they can have their hand there on the fender and they can just, as you're kind of walking along. Because she was kind of guiding me, looking at this. And I told her, I said, if that trailer had come down on your arm, there's nothing I could have done. 15,000 pounds would have crushed that to the truck. And it took me several minutes to get those jacks as slow as they were up. And so as we were driving along and we were thanking the Lord for His faithfulness to us and how that He protected us. And we were thanking the Lord about this weather. And I'm going to tell you, this is wonderful. And we were talking about that. And all of a sudden, we'd gotten this also a ways. And all of a sudden, we both felt something and heard it. And I looked back. And one of the tires blew out on the trailer. And I looked at that, and there was really no place to go. There's just a narrow shoulder. And the ground kind of sloped off where we're at, so I just barely was able to get off the road. And I stopped. I had just checked those tires, and I thought they looked almost like new. And I thought, well, everything's okay. I really didn't even think there'd be a chance of a problem as cool as it was. But it blew out. And so I got out. And these semis were going by, and when they come by, two of them at a time, and they were about 3 to 4 feet from us, I'm going to tell you, it just shook that whole trailer. And I got out and looked at it, and I got back in the truck, and I said, it ain't safe. I'm going to call AAA and have them come and change this, because they'll at least have lights back there. Maybe people will get over, because they weren't getting over. And so we got on the phone, and bless her heart, we got a young lady from another state. And she talked, and she asked questions, and she was having a terrible time trying to figure out all the information. And so we got to the point, and finally, you know, I was telling her where we were at, and she just could not understand it. And so I finally handed the phone to Karen. I said, you know what, I think I'm going to go out, and I'm going to go ahead and start taking the tire down. I may be able to get it fixed before they can ever get here. She said, well, don't get killed, because it was so dangerous. And so I went out, and I walked behind the trailer, and I was rolling the wheel down, and I got it off. And I was starting to go in the trailer. I was dreading getting the jack and putting it, laying there 3 feet or 4 feet, whatever it was, from these trucks going by and cars, and jacking that thing up on the side of the road. But I thought, I don't know what else to do. And so I went in to get my battery for my impact, and when I did, I looked up. And here coming down the side of the road was a man walking. He had a wheel and he had pulled over. And he was carrying this big old black thing, and I looked at it, and it's one of those deals that you stick under the tire and you can just drive up on it. And he said, I thought you might need this. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, our God is good. And I looked at that and I just said, oh, I was so thankful, and he came over there and he helped me, and we got that. I backed up, we got it off. The tire was wrapped around, and I tugged and tugged, and if he hadn't been there, I couldn't have got it. It was wrapped around the axle. And we got it all back on. Karen was still on the phone talking to the lady, trying to get the thing, and I said, just tell them to forget it. We've already got it. Do you know, dear ones, and I think that man, he lived here in Neosho at one point, but he was living in Oklahoma City, and he was moving his daughter to Missouri. And I believe the Lord sent him by at just the right time. And dear ones, I want you to know, young people, I want you to be encouraged this evening. I know the devil fights everything that you do. Anything that is good, anything that is wholesome, the devil is going to fight it with all of his might. And he is going to try to just make you feel like everything is falling apart and nothing's going to work out. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, if you get a solid experience with God, you get a foundation like we've already been hearing in this meeting, I'm going to tell you, you'll be able to stand fast against all the wiles of the devil. And that's what the Lord wants you to have. I have so enjoyed the meeting. And I have listened, and I'm going to tell you, I'll be honest with you. I was like, Lord, I don't want to get up there. You've been blessing these ministers, and I just didn't feel like, Lord, I can't even get up there. It's just been rich, and I'm just like, Lord, I'm afraid I'm not capable of that. But you know what, dear ones? What we have heard has been line upon line and precept upon precept. We've heard over and over, and I believe with all my heart that God is trying to get each and every one of us to have a rock solid experience with the Lord. I believe, dear ones, that God is wanting us to get established on the principles of truth that He has in His Word, that no matter what happens in our nation, our world, that you and I can stand firm for the Lord. I don't believe that God gives us just enough to where we can just barely squeak by and we may not even make it. I believe God's got something greater than that for you and I. And I believe He wants us to have an experience where we are not only victorious in our life, but we have a testimony and we can say, praise God, I am saved and I know that I am. And these messages that we've been hearing, everyone's been zeroing in on this foundation. And young people, I want to encourage you to get that this evening. As I was thinking about this, I was looking and, you know, I thought about, and I couldn't help but remind me as I was hearing these messages, I thought about what the Lord gave me at the beginning of the year. The folks at home have heard me tell that many times, but what the Lord so inspired me with was that we individually and collectively would live in such a manner that God could manifest Himself to us in a greater way than He ever has before. Now, dear ones, I don't know what's ahead of us. I don't know what the election's going to turn out. I don't know anything about all the things that are happening. But I'm going to tell you, I know a God in heaven that is able to keep us in the midst of all that. I know He is. And dear ones, I know He is faithful to His Word and His promises. And so if you and I will get a hold of these things, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be something that will help us. We're living in a time, dear ones, where it seems like nearly everything is accepted. Lifestyles, religions, opinions, doctrines, it doesn't matter what it is, it just seems like everything is being accepted in our world today. We're living in a time, dear ones, where it seems like everybody that dies goes to heaven. Have you ever heard of anybody recently that went to hell? Now, I understand me. I realize we want to comfort people when they're lost, when they lose a loved one. But I'm going to tell you, there's a danger that's happening in our nation and in our world today. And that is, everybody that dies goes to heaven. I've been to funerals recently, and I've listened, and I've heard them talk about the individual that passed. And I'm going to tell you, it sounded to me like they lived like the devil. And they'd tell you and say, oh, this person, and he did this, and he did this. And they said, but he's in a better place. I'm going to tell you that's a trap of the enemy, dear ones, because not everybody is going to heaven. We're living in a time, dear ones, where it seems like that there are so many things that people are doing that it's just they're expecting the promises of God to be given to them. We're living in a time where people are praying. I'm going to tell you, they'll put you to shame sometimes. I'll be out in the world and I'll be talking to people and I think, well, they don't have any profession of religion, the way they act and talk. But all of a sudden, I mean, they'll pray and they'll say things and I'm thinking, Lord, what about this? Now, I'm not their judge. But I'm going to tell you, there's people that are expecting God to answer their prayer and to claim the promises that God has for His children, and they're asking Him to do this for anything that they have. They will tell you they're standing on the promises of God. But I want to ask you a question this morning that I'd like for this evening that I'd like for us to consider. And that is, and I was going to write it on the board, but I won't. Are we standing or are we presuming on the promises of God? I want us to think about that, because I'm going to tell you, dear ones, there are eternal consequences to whether we're standing on the promises or we're presuming on the promises of God. And I want to look at a scripture. There's a scripture over here in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. This is a very familiar scripture. 2 Corinthians 1 and 20, and Paul said, "For all the promises of God are yea and are amen to the glory of God by us." There's a reason that God gave these promises. And there is glory that comes from those promises, and that goes to God, not to us. And dear ones, I want you to get a hold of something here. The Apostle Paul said, all the promises of God. He didn't say part of the promises of God. He didn't say most of the promises of God. He said all the promises of God. He said are yea, and they are, and in Him, amen. Dear ones, every promise of God is true. Every promise of God is true. What did the songwriter say? He said in one place, he said, "Not one promise hath He broken. Faithful to His trust is He." Dear ones, this is our God. And I want us, young people, I want you to get a hold of this. We need this deep in our heart, in our soul, in our mind, that our God is faithful to His Word. He is faithful to His promises. And there is not a single promise that God makes that will be broken. When you look at this, dear ones, don't allow the failures of mankind to be attributed to God. Because while God may take, and many times He uses men, you and I, what do we say? It's His arm extended. I'm going to tell you, the faithfulness of God is not dependent upon man. If you and I fail, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, God will take and raise someone or something else up in order that His promises can be true. The scripture said, Jesus said it. Let me see if I can find that here. It's in Luke, the 19th chapter. Jesus was talking to the scribes and the Pharisees in the 40th verse, and He said, and He was talking to them, and it's where Jesus was coming into Jerusalem and all the people were praising God. And you remember what He said? He said, "If these were to hold their peace, the very stones would cry out." I'm going to tell you, dear ones, God is true and He is faithful. And if man does not stand by the promises of God, if he's not faithful, God will raise something up that His promises will be true. This is why, dear ones, it is so important to get a hold of this, because I'm going to tell you, the devil will try to cause you to question the promises in the Word of God. But when you've got it settled in your heart and mind, this is truth, I'm going to tell you, it's hard for the devil to get you to deviate from that. Jesus said over in Matthew the 5th chapter in the 18th verse, He said, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall no wise pass from the law until all be fulfilled." Dear ones, everything that God has said from the very beginning of time until today has happened exactly like God said it would. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to continue that way as long as time goes. It'll never change. Young people, if you will get a hold of this in your hearts and your minds, I'm going to tell you the Word of God is a solid foundation that you can stand on, that you can build your lives on, and it'll help you to be able to overcome every temptation. It'll help you to stand through every test. It'll help you to be able to be triumphant over all the wiles of the enemy if you get a hold of these principles of truth in the Word, because they'll never change. It's something that God has for us, but the question that I have this evening is, are we standing on those promises or are we presuming on them? And I'd like to do something. I'd like to read you a definition of standing and presuming. And I don't at all mean to impugn on your knowledge, because I know we all know what this is. But I believe it's good for us to be reminded of definitions occasionally. And so Webster said of standing, it says, established by law or custom, not movable. Dear ones, the only way that can happen is if there is a solid foundation, like we've already heard about in the meeting, during the meeting here. If we have that solid foundation, then it's not movable. But if that foundation moves, everything that's on it is going to move as well. But it says here that standing is established by law or custom, not movable. He goes on, Webster does, and he says, a position from which one may assert or enforce legal rights and duties. Do you know, ones, a court of law will take, and they will throw a case out if the judge determines that the plaintiff, the one that's bringing the petition, does not have standing, regardless of the merit. He may say, I agree or disagree with what the case is, but if this person does not have standing, they have no right to bring it. If somebody does me wrong, babe, can I pick on you? If Brother Ed were to do me wrong, and you looked at that and you say, well, I'm going to take Brother Ed to court. And the judge is going to be there and he's going to say, well, why are you suing Brother Ed? What did Brother Ed do to you? And you're going to say, well, nothing, but he did it to Brother Curtis. The judge is going to throw that out because he's going to say, Brother Ed didn't do nothing to you. Do you see? You don't have a right. What did it say here? To assert or to enforce legal rights and duties in the case. You don't have anything to do it. Dear ones, I want us to get a hold of this definition. Because it comes down to our ability to be able to claim the promises of God. If we do not have a right to be able to call those, we're presuming on the promises of God. Now, presuming says, Webster says, is to undertake without leave or clear justification. Now, if I walked out there in that parking lot and I found a car that had keys in it, you know it would be presumptuous of me to just say, well, there's a car, it's got keys in it, I'm going to take it to town without ever asking whose it is or if I can do that. Webster also goes on and he says, to expect or assume, especially with confidence. Now, I'm going to tell you, the devil's bold. And, you know, I could go out there and maybe I tell you, Brother Mark, you go with me. We're going to go to town. And we get to go out to get it. He said, whose car is this? I don't know. Well, how are you using it? Well, they left their keys in. I'm going to take it. Brother Marty can say, well, how do you know it's okay? And I'll say, well, it's God's property. I've heard Brother Marty say many times, everything he's got belongs to God. So if it's God's property, if he lets you use it, he can let me use it. And you see, I can have that kind of confidence, can't I? I can say, well, that's it. It's God's. And if it's yours, it's mine, and I can just go take it. You see, the devil can be bold, but doesn't mean it's right. He goes on and he says that to presume is to suppose to be true without proof, to take for granted, to imply. Now, Brother Marty may say, well, no, Brother Curtis, I don't know that you ought to take. We ought to take this car. How do you know that it's right? And I'll say, well, they left their keys in it, didn't they? It's obvious they don't care. They wouldn't have left their keys in there. But you see, let me read you another definition. He went on and he said, to act or proceed presumptuously, to go beyond what is right or proper. Now, I would say probably most every one of you in here would say that it was very presumptuous of me to just go out there in the parking lot and find a car that's got its keys in it and take it without permission. Not even knowing whose it is or why the keys are in there. Maybe you left the keys because you loaned it to somebody else. Maybe they were going to go to the airport and take somebody, and now they missed their flight because they get out there and the car is gone. Maybe they were going to go to town and they were going to take it. And now Brother Marty and I went to town and they're there and they're looking for it. You know what they're going to do? What would you do? If you walked out there and somebody, your car's gone and you knew you left your keys in it. Nobody else knows anything about it. You get on the phone, you call the police and say, somebody stole my car. And you know what happened? When Brother Marty and I got to town and we're driving around and those blue lights start flashing, you know what that guy's going to do? He's going to say, what are you doing driving this car? Well, I came to town. Well, is it your car? No. Whose is it? I don't know. Well, why are you driving it? Well, they left the keys in it. Do you know what he would do? He would say that I have done what was not, what was the definition there? He said, that which was not, it was going beyond what is right or proper. It's being presumptuous. Dear ones, I think we can all agree that's being presumptuous, isn't it? But I say all this, dear ones, to lay the foundation for the thought that the Lord dropped on my heart. Is, are we standing on the promises or are we presuming on those? Now I want to go to another scripture here in Romans, the 9th chapter. In Romans, the 9th chapter, in the 2nd verse, it said, Paul said, I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. You know, the Apostle Paul was troubled because many of his fellow Israelites were not enjoying the wonderful promises and the privileges that God had provided for them. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when you study the scriptures and you look at what God promised to Israel, He promised them many, many things. Powerful promises. And we'll look at some of those if we have time this evening. But I want to notice again, He said, who are Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Do you know, dear ones, God did not give all these things to the Philistines. He didn't give it to the Amorites or the Jebusites or the or any of the other ites that occupied the Canaan land. God didn't give it to him, did He? But He gave it to the Israel. And we're going to look at that and why He did in just a minute. But before we do, I want to notice what else He said here in this 5th verse. He said, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, God provided many, many blessings and promises to Israel. But there's one promise that God made to Israel that was greater than all of them. And that was that one day He would send His Son, His only begotten Son, to die for their sins, like we heard about this afternoon in ordinance service. God sent His Son. He told them, this is what I'm going to do. And this, when He does this, He will be the ultimate sacrifice for your sins. He will set you free from the curse and the bondage of sin. You don't have to worry about all these things that you have to worry about now. I'll set you free from that. This was the promise that God gave to Israel. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, just like many today, Israel came short of that. And Paul, when he looked at his fellow Israelites, he was grieved and he said he was troubled. He said, I wish I was cursed myself that they might be able to have this. They don't realize what they're missing. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, people in our world today do not realize what they're missing. Just the other night, we after service here, and we were walking up to there, and Karen took a picture of that moon that was over there in the tabernacle. She put on her deal, whatever she had posted it on, and she said, there's no place else in the world I'd rather be. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when you come and you see the services like we've had in this meeting and the Spirit of the Lord comes down and He begins to convict souls, when you see the Lord begin to witness to people, there's nothing like it. When you see people coming down like they did today and these altars were lined with people and they need physical hearing, and then you hear somebody get up and testify, the Lord's already done it for me. There's nothing like that. And this is what Christ came to bring. You won't find that out there in the world. young people. You won't find it out there, old people. It don't matter how old you are. You're not going to find these things out there. But God has it for His people. And this is what God had for Israel. And dear ones, when we look at this, He promised that He would do this. And then God took. After He made a lot of these promises, you know, God desired for us. He desired for them to understand what He was promising to them. Do you know I see God as a loving God? He doesn't take and just say, you know, I'm going to do this and then I'm going to hide it from them and then they'll never be able to know it. When you look at the scriptures, you'll find where God took and revealed His will to mankind. And so He took one of His servants, Abraham, of old. And He took Abraham, and in order to reveal the plan that He had for mankind, He told Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, and I want you to take him up onto a mountain. I'm going to show you and offer him for a sacrifice. We'll turn and look at that just a little bit in Genesis, the 22nd chapter, the second verse, Genesis 22:2. And He said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Dear ones, I'm going to tell you. You know, it's easy to read scriptures like this. And because we know the outcome, we just kind of gloss over it and forget about really all the details. But I'm going to tell you, this was something that God required of him. When you notice what He said, take thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. This wasn't somebody that Abraham, yeah, so that's just a servant. I'm going to just take him up there and offer him. This was his son. Brother Darrell, you got grandchildren. Which one of those would you give to me to offer as a sacrifice? I'd say none of us would. You see, I'm going to tell you, as grandparents, those children wrap around our hand, our hearts, don't they? And dear ones, this was a child that God promised to Abraham, and he waited, was it 100 years? Have you ever waited a long time for something before God gave it to you? Maybe an answer to prayer, whatever it is. This was something that God promised to Abram, and it was 100 years there. And then Abram, this was his only child. And then God said, that thou lovest. This was a child that Abraham loved. Dear ones, that'd be hard, wouldn't it? To have the Lord come by. Have you ever had your children get sick? And you wonder, Lord, what's going to happen here? It gets close to home, doesn't it? You know, this is the experience that Abraham had. And he was there and God told him that. I'm going to tell you it'd be hard. But dear ones, Abraham was human just like you and I are. And I am convinced, dear ones, that the same devil that comes to you and I and begins to bring excuses and begins to bring things and say, you don't have to do that. That don't make sense. Why would God do this? I am convinced, dear ones, that Satan was right there with Abram as well. He was there trying to convince him, you don't have to do that. Dear ones, perhaps this evening, maybe some of us are even questioning their mind. Why would God do that? Why would God require that? I want us to understand it because it's going to affect our lives as well. And dear ones, God required it because He was proving Abraham to know what was in his heart. Do you know God is going to prove each and every one of us to know what's in our heart? Do you love me more than all of these other things? When you look at this, Jesus said over there in Matthew, the 22nd chapter and the 37th verse, He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with most of thy heart. I'm glad you know the scriptures. That's not what He said, is it? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy what? Soul? With all thy mind. And He said, this is the first and the great commandment that God gave. Dear ones, this is why God required Abraham to do what he did. He knew that he loved this son. He knew that Abraham had waited a long time. And he knew what was in his heart. And he wanted to see, Abram, do you love me more than this? I'm going to tell you, dear ones, this is the same reason when you look at these things. If there is anything that comes between us and God, it will hinder the plan of God. And it will keep you and I from receiving the blessings that God has for us. And so this is why that God tried Abraham. It's also why God tried Daniel and the three Hebrews the way he did. Because he had a very important job for Daniel and the three Hebrews to do. And he wanted to know what was in their heart. So he allowed them to be tried. It's the same reason that God allowed Joseph to go through all the things that he did. Because he had a place for Joseph. Joseph, am I going to be able to put you up here as number two? Are you going to be able to be a help to all these people? I'm looking at all these souls and your family, and I want you to be a help. Are you going to be able to do that? And so he allowed Joseph to be tried. Dear ones, I'm going to tell you, these things come down to us today as well. And the Lord is wanting to know, where do you and I stand? When you look at all of these things, this is why God did what he did. It's why Jesus asked of Peter when he was there, he said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Do you know, dear ones, Christ was looking out and he saw the ministry that he had for Peter to do. And he said, Peter, do you love me more than these? If you don't, I can't put you in this place. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, if you and I do not love God with all of our heart, if there's one thing that comes between us and God, it's going to hinder the plan of God. And so this is the same reason that Jesus asked the rich young ruler. And you can look over there, and I won't read it for sake of time, in Luke, the 18th chapter, the 22nd verse. You remember this rich young ruler came to Jesus and he asked him, he said, Lord, what good thing must I do to be saved? And the Lord began to talk to him. He said, I've done this and I've done that and all these things I've done. And Jesus said, one thing thou lackest. Go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor. You know, it wasn't that Jesus was concerned about all those things that he had. Because Jesus could get those anywhere. But he was concerned about the condition of his heart. Jesus knew that this man loved something more than he loved God. And so that's where he put his finger on his life. Dear ones, God had enabled this man to gain all that wealth and riches. But I'm going to tell you, he did it because for a cause that was bigger than this man. And what happened was as God allowed him to get these things, this man got his focus off of God and he got it on the things that God was allowing him to get for a cause that was bigger than him. And as he got his eyes on that thing, his affections went out to that. It came between him and God and it hindered the plan of God. Dear ones, God has a plan for every one of our lives this evening. God has a plan for each and every one of our lives, and I'm going to tell you, it's bigger than you and it's bigger than me. It's part of the master plan that God has for all of creation. And dear ones, every time that you and I allow something to get in our heart, whatever it is that I'm not willing to let go, to give up, or to be able to consecrate to God, that thing is going to hinder the plan of God, and it's going to hinder you and I from receiving the blessings that God has for us. I want to look at another scripture now. I want to go back to Genesis, the 22nd chapter, in the 3rd verse. And I want to notice what happened when God proved Abram. It says here in Genesis 22 and 3, and Abraham arose up early in the morning, and he saddled his ass, and he took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Dear ones, young people, can I encourage you to, when you read these scriptures, get a hold of this. Begin to focus on what happened here. Abraham did not hesitate at all. He was quick to obey the commands of God. And young people, I want to exhort you this evening. Don't hesitate to do what you know that God wants you to do. The longer you hesitate, the harder it's going to be to do it. And the longer you hesitate, the more confused in your mind you're going to be. Because I'm going to tell you, if you give Satan enough room, he will twist and turn things in such a way that you'll be so confused you don't know what is right and what is wrong. And I will tell you, that's exactly why there's so many people that are in Christian settings around the world that they're twisted in their minds and they don't know, because God has dealt with them and he's told them, this is what I want you to do. And they've drawn back. And as they've drawn back, the enemy has come in and he's begun to bring thoughts and he's begun to go in. Well, why would God want you to do that? Why would God want Abraham to go up there and offer that? That don't make sense. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, What you need to get a hold of is a knowledge and an understanding of the voice of God. And when you know this is God that has been speaking to you all along and He tells you, you do this, do it right now. Don't hesitate, because the enemy, I'm going to tell you, if he can get you to listen to his perspective, it'll change how you, totally change how you look at things. Just like it did Adam and Eve. And that's what the enemy wants to do to our lives. But I'm thankful, dear ones, that Abraham didn't do that. Abraham immediately obeyed God. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, what happened when Abraham did as a result of that. The plan of God was revealed. The plan of God was revealed. And Abraham was able to receive the blessings. If you go there in Genesis, the 22nd chapter, in the 9th verse through the 13th verse, and for sake of time, because that clock's rolling, dear ones, I'm not going to read all this, but get a hold of this. Young people, read these. I know the devil. I want to just say this. I know how the devil works. When I was a young person and I would come to Monarch and I'd get saved and I'd go home with a determination I'm going to live for God. And I'd get home and I'd think, okay, now I know the last time I didn't have my devotions, and so I'm going to have them. And I'd go up to my room and I'd sit down at the end of the day working and I'd say, I'm going to read a whole chapter. And I'd sit there and I'd read until I fell asleep. And then I'd wake up and I'd know I got to do it. I missed that, so I'd go back over. And I'd spend I don't know how much time. And I'm going to tell you, I got nothing out of it. Young people, when the devil would want you to get a hold of scriptures and read things, there's value in every scripture. But you get a hold of things that will feed your soul. And I'm going to tell you, and I've told the young people at home this, God is more interested in quality than He is quantity. If you get one verse and you meditate upon that and you hide that in your heart and you take it with you as you go, I'm going to tell you, God will give you something that will help you to resist the enemy of your soul. It's a scripture. Ask Him, Lord, give me a promise. Give me something. And you stand on that. I'm going to tell you, it'll help you to get established in the Lord. The devil will tell you, you need to read 3 chapters tonight because you fell asleep last night. And I'm going to tell you, it ain't going to be very long. You're going to put the Bible up and you're never going to get a hold of what God has for you. These are the tactics that the devil works in. But I want you to look at this. When Abraham did this, he came to this place and he got up there and he put Isaac on the altar and he strapped him down on top of the wood and he took the knife to slay him. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, God had an angel there and he said, Abraham, don't do that. Abraham, and he called him. You see why I say it's important to hear the voice of God? What if he didn't? He said, no, I've heard all these. The devil's been telling me don't do it. I'm just going to go ahead. He knew the voice of God. Oh, dear ones, it is so vital for us to know the voice of God. Because it's so essential for you and I to be able to have a firm foundation and be able to live for the Lord. And he called him, and Abraham, he said, yes. And he told him not to do it. And he said, well, let me just read it here. He said, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Dear ones, God had a plan all along. He had a plan not just for Abraham and for Isaac. He did that too. That spared Isaac. But God had a plan that reached out all the way down to our generation. He had a plan of salvation that was for every one of mankind. And dear ones, God wanted to reveal that to man. And so he took his servant and he said, I want you to go do this. I wonder this evening how many of the things that God is wanting to reveal to the world around us, to the people of God, have not been revealed because somebody failed to go all the way with God. Do you see God had a plan here? Had Abraham just said, no, that don't make, God, you've always said, don't do that. I'm not going to do it. You know, we would have never had this example. The Israelites would have never had this revealed to them as something to look forward to of what God was going to do. Oh, dear ones, my heart aches. And this is how Paul said, he said he was troubled because those of his fellow, when he said they weren't enjoying these privileges. God has a privilege for you and I. He has blessings for you and I, but we're going to have to be diligent in following the Lord. Jesus said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Dear ones, that's a scripture that probably every one of these children have memorized. And that's good because it's a foundation stone that you can stand on. But what I want you to know is that what God did for Abraham and Isaac, He wants to do for you and me as well. Every one of us, God wants to do that. But you know the only way He can do it? Is you and I are going to have to take and we're going to have to follow the commands of God. We're going to have to not presume on the promises, but we're going to have to get an experience with God where we can take and stand on those. I want to turn now to Genesis, the 17th chapter. And I want to look at the first two verses in Genesis 17, 1 and 2. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenants between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. Dear ones, this was before God gave Abram a child. It was before He required him to offer this as a sacrifice on the altar. And God took and He told Abram, He said, if you'll do this, if you'll do your part, I'm making a covenant with you. If you keep your part of the covenant, He said, I'll keep mine. And if you go right on down in this chapter in the 17th, in the 6th to the 8th verse, and you begin to see the promises that God made. He said, I'll make thee exceedingly fruitful. I'll make nations of thee. Kings shall come out of you. He said, I'll establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. I will give it to thee and thy seed the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, you can't get any better promises than that. That God says, I will be your God. In 2024, when you go to school, when you go on the job, when you're in the home or in the community, wherever at, to have God of heaven say, I'll be your God. I'll fight your battles. I'll be there. I'll supply your needs. I'll heal your bodies. You know, that's what He said He'd do for them. This is the promises of God, dear ones. And this is what He said He would do. But He said, Abraham, you do something. Abraham had to keep his part of the covenant. Now, this is where many people in our world today that are saying they're standing on the promises and they're living like the world. And they're doing all these things. They've missed something here that's very important. God told Abram, He said, walk before me and be thou perfect. You see, that was the part of the covenant that Abraham had to keep. And if he did that, God said, I'll do all these other things for you. I'll fight your battles. I'll supply your needs. I'll do everything. But you're going to have to do this. And dear ones, when you look at this, you say, well, it was impossible for him to live perfect. That was before Christ's time. I read this definition in another message at home, and I want to read it to you because it just stood out to me. Webster said of perfect, he says, having all the required or desirable elements, qualities, or characteristics as good as it is possible to be. You get a hold of that? Yes. Dear ones, Abraham, just like Job and many others, lived as good as it was possible for them to do in the time in their generation. And God looked at that and He honored that and He blessed them. Young people, I want you to, as you read these scriptures, I want you to get a hold of something. God has always been faithful to those who have been faithful to Him. God has taken and manifested Himself to those in times of old. Moses and Noah and Daniel and Joseph and the three Hebrews. And you could go on and on and on. God manifested Himself. Can you imagine having God come down and split the Red Sea wide open for you to be able to go across? Can you imagine on your job or in a situation and where it just seemed like, Lord, it can never work out. And you call on the God of heaven and He just opens doors and you're just like, how did it happen? Can you imagine you being on the side of the road and God taking and stopping somebody that was in Oklahoma City and sent him through at the right time with a tool that you need? I'm going to tell you, that's God. But dear ones, it comes when you and I are faithful to God and we keep His commandments. When we keep our part of the covenant, God will be faithful to His word and He'll do what He said. Remember, He told Abram, He said, if you walk before me and be perfect. And He said, I'll do all these things for you. I'm persuaded this evening, dear one, that there's a reason why a lot of people are not enjoying the blessings of God. I'm persuaded that there's a reason why there's so many troubles that are happening in our world today. And it's because people have failed to get a hold of what God is wanting. God has always required perfect obedience to His commands before He put His blessings and His mercies upon people. Now you say, well, God is a merciful God and He's a loving God, and He is. And I'm going to tell you, just like with Israel, God bestowed blessings on them that they never deserved. Many times they failed God. Many times they turned their back, and God performed many things for them that they didn't deserve. But I'm going to tell you, it's presuming on the promises of God for you and I to take and say, God is a loving God. He's a merciful God. He's going to let me get into heaven because He's a merciful God, and He's not going to send me to hell. I'm going to tell you, if you take that stand instead of taking and following the commands of God, keeping the covenant that God has for you, your portion of the covenant, you're presuming on the promises of God, just like I'd be presuming if I went out there and took your car. And dear ones, that's what the devil is wanting to do with everyone. I want you, young people, all of us, I want you to know without a shadow of a doubt, the promises of God are yea and they are amen. They are true. They will never fail. The Word of God will never fail. But there is a requirement for you and I to do in order to be able to receive these blessings. And we're going to have to take, and we're going to have to follow the pattern that God gave us. You know, Paul said, and Brother Darrell mentioned the other night, Paul said, my heart's desire is that Israel would be saved. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, my heart, and I believe the heart of every minister here, and they've been pouring them out in this meeting, is that every one of us would be saved. Those in this assembly, those that are listening online, those in our communities, our desire is that they be saved. We want them to be able to experience the blessings of God. I look and I see broken homes, and I see little children that are going through things, and it grieves my heart. Can you imagine your little children, your grandchildren, being involved in things? It'll tear your heart, dear ones. God doesn't want that, and we don't want it. But as much as we don't want it, that choice is yours. You have to choose to take and follow the command of God. Keep your part of the covenant with God. Be willing to go all the way with God and do what He says. If you take and you hold back on one thing, you say, I'll do 99%, but this 1% I'm not. I'm going to tell you what it'll do. You're going to be presuming on the promises of God. And if you're presuming on the promises of God, dear ones, when you get to that place and you're standing before the judgment seat of God, and not even just then, if you're in your time of battle and the enemy is coming like a flood, if you're presuming on the promises of God, you're going to find that the devil is just going to sweep you right off of your feet. But it doesn't have to be that way. God has an experience for each and every one of us where we can be rooted and grounded in the truth. These principles of truth that we've been hearing in this meeting will carry you through all the way. Every generation that changes this word, this truth, I'd mentioned earlier, young people, as you study these scriptures, those principles of truth that God had way back in the Old Testament, they're still true today. You see, what God did with Abram, it's the same with us. And if you'll get a hold of these, and that's my burden tonight, that's the burden of the heart of God, is that you can receive the blessings that He has for you. May the Lord help us each one to be willing to go all the way with God, not hold back a thing. I appreciate your attention.